Genesis 29, Jacob the supplanter, and now Jacob the lover. We learned something of his love last week. We want to consider still more Jacob the lover and seek to learn the lessons that God has in this portion for us. In chapter 29, look again at verse 16, talking about wages, and Laban has two daughters, and it says, verse 18, and Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban agrees to that, and then in verse 20 it says, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And now look at verse 30. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 more years. And another scripture, turn to chapter 37, chapter 37, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojourning, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, and they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. That's all we'll read for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful for the contents of this book that are divine. The selection, Father, is so simple, but so essential. We confess, our God, that we are not aware that what we have read for something thousands of years past. We thank you, our God, that thy word is living and powerful, and it is alive for us as well. So teach us the lesson contained in the passages that we have read. Illumine us, our Father. Guide us, we pray, and help us to be better husbands and fathers and men and women of God, because thou hast spoken to us from the Scriptures. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I told you last week that Jacob, for the first time, fell in love at the advanced age of 77 years. And afterward I was asked, how do you know he was 77 years? Just listen to this. When he appeared before Pharaoh, he was 130. His son, Joseph, at the same time, was 39 years old, and Joseph was born 14 years after he began working for Laban. And you calculate that out, and you find out that when he proposed to and married Rachel, he was 77 years old. And he is the one who made this agreement as to how long he was going to serve for Rachel, whom he loved. And he said 7 years. And I dwelt on this last Lord's Day, that they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. I want us to think of love here. Love in relation to labor. And then I want to show you another scripture. Love in relation to sorrow. God has said that since sin has come into the world, man shall eat his bread by the sweat of his brow. And when you read that Jacob served 7 years, for Rachel. What kind of work was that? You say, well, they may have seemed a few days because he was with his own flesh and blood. He was with his uncle Laban, and he probably had an easy time of it. But we'll see about that. Turn over for a moment in chapter 31. I want us to see what 7 years' labor for Rachel consisted of, and then 7 years' labor for Leah, which was reversed, he was deceived, and then 6 more years for the cattle. And so in chapter 31, look at verse 36. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast hotly pursued after me? And so forth and so on. Verse 38, these 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of the flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was. In the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep fled from mine eyes. These 20 years have I been in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters, and 6 years for thy flock, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Now, this was the labor of Jacob for Rachel and Leah and the possessions that are now his. And having read that to you, let us look again at the verse in chapter 29, where it says in verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Do you see what love can do to the laborers of life? There is not one of us here that works as Jacob worked, and it said that all of those years, because of the love that he had for Rachel, they seemed unto him but a few days. Now, this is what a woman can bring into a man's life when he falls in love with that woman. And I showed you from what book was it that told us about a man loving his wife? Does any brother remember? You must see this. You must. Ecclesiastes. Turn there, please. You must understand about life. What I read to you in Genesis chapter 29 is Jacob experiencing the portion that God has given us in life. And so in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, you've heard of the 90 and 9. Well, remember Ecclesiastes 9 and 9. Look at verse 9 now. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully, or rejoice with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of vanity, which she hath given thee under the sun, all thy days of vanity. For that is thy portion in life, and in thy labor wherewith thou laborest under the sun. Please, never forget that verse. God says, rejoice, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of vanity, which she hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in life. You keep looking for something else, something outside of the things that God has given. But God says, your portion is with your wife, and the labor that you must exert, that you must put forth, this labor is moderated by the love that you have for a wife. I brought a wife to Adam, and now I brought into the life of Jacob a wife. And it says that this hard labor that he experienced for all of these years, it was modified, and it seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Now, if your wife is one whom you love, then hard labor can seem easy, and it can be but for a few days. This is what Paul says, he says, our light affliction, which is for the moment. Our light affliction, which is for the moment. You will find that all his life long, his labor was painful and difficult. You may read in 2 Corinthians what he says about the sufferings that he had for Christ. And he said, we die daily. It was something that happened to him his whole life long. And he said, our life affliction, which is for the moment. Now, Jacob loved Rachel. And he said, these 7 years seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for. And Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth us. And so if you love the Lord Jesus, then the sufferings that you experience in this world can be described as our light affliction. And when I read of the hard labor of Jacob, I said, a few days, and yet that's the way that God's word pronounces it. A few days for the love he had. And so love put side by side with labor, it can make the labor not only bearable, but enjoyable. And these long, dreary days, it can make them seem but a few days. And it means that 20 years, a few days, because of the love he had for. But if husbands and wives do not dwell together according to knowledge, then a few days with one another can seem like an eternity. Husbands and wives, understand this. Your portion in life for joy and happiness is bound up in your wife, in your husband. Enjoy life with your wife, with your husband, all the days of your life. This is your portion. And you keep looking for joy somewhere else. It is in your wife. And so do not be enemies one with another. Love one another. Enjoy life with your wife. And then 20 years of hard labor, it is not so hard. It is light labor, and it is but a few days. But if not, it becomes unbearable. It becomes something that you endure, and life is something that you tolerate with your wife. This is not what God would have to be. We have read how life is to be. And so Jacob learned that. He only learned it when he was 77 years of age. Now I want to bring in another thought. Here is love and labor. Do you see what love can do to labor? What if Jacob had to serve not for a wife, but had to serve as an apprentice for these 20 years to become a competent sheep herder? You say it would have been unbearable. Of course it would. But you have labor and you have love, and it changes all of the labors of life into something that is light and into something that is of short duration. And so fall in love, and your labors of life will be evaluated in a different way. Now, turn back to chapter 24. I want you to see what God says about love and sorrow. In Genesis chapter 24, you will remember that Abraham has sent off for a wife for his son Isaac, just as Rebekah sent off Jacob to seek a wife for himself, and the unnamed servant has been successful in finding her. But let me show you in chapter 23, don't lose your place here, but look at chapter 23, verse 1. And the life of Sarah was 127 years. All right. Remember, let me show you how you do it. 127. And she was 90 years old when Isaac was born. So that means he was 37 years old when his mother died. Now, chapter 24. In chapter 24, it says at verse 66, and the servant told Isaac all these things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And now you find out that he is 40 years old. Here is this man who sorrowed for his mother and her death for 3 years. But notice, a wife is brought to him, and it says in the last verse, that he took her into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This sorrow would have gone on and on and on, but then love came into his life, and then love next to sorrow. Sorrow disappears, and comfort is brought in by love. Labor and toil, and love is brought in, and it becomes light and of short duration. Do you understand? Labor is a necessity of life. You cannot escape it. Sorrow is a necessity of life. You cannot escape it. And so the only thing you do is to bring in love, and then labor becomes light and of short duration. We'll do everything else to overcome labor, but God says, no, no, bring in love, and then labor is overcome. Sorrow, it can destroy us, but bring in love, and sorrow is dissipated. Do you see what love does? It does away with the burdens of life and the prolonged days of life. And it makes it short, and it makes it light, and love also does away with the sorrows of life. And so here we Christians, if anybody should know about love, it is we Christians who should love. We love because he first loved us. And so we're supposed to know about love. But we do not love, and so we go through life vain, our vain life. We go through life in misery. It is something that we endure. But God said, that's not the thing. He says, bring in the love, and you know about love now. And then love in your family life, it changes it completely. Bring in love concerning the sorrows of life, and it's changed completely. And another thing, I wonder if Jacob thought that the end had been reached when he marries Rachel. He has her as his wife, and there is no more joy that can be brought into his life. No, because children start coming into his life. And then he loves, he understands that he can love someone that is other than his own flesh. And then he also has a love of someone that is of his own flesh. Marriage, yes, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. But then children are of a different nature. And so here come children, and it says that Jacob loved his children. And I want to explain this to you because it is essential. Jacob always loved well, but he did not love wisely. And I must confess this, you cannot help but love some more than others. I love all of you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I love some of you more than others. And you say, why? Well, you tell me, why did Jacob love Rachel more than he loved Leah? That's why I read the other verse. It says now, Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. It does not say he did not love Leah, but there was something about Rachel that he loved. And it just is that way. And he loved her more. It does not mean that he did not love Leah, but he loved her less. And so some of us in life are going to have to understand this. You love some preachers more than you love me. You love some Christians more than you love me. I can understand that. I can accept it. And here is Rachel, here is Leah. Jacob loved them both, but he said, I love Rachel more. It was evident. Now, children start coming. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Zebulun, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Joseph, Benjamin, and Dinah. All of these children come into his life, save the last one at this time. All of them are in his life, and he looks over them all, and he says, I love Joseph more than all my other children. Does not say that he did not love his other children, but he loved Joseph more than his other children. Now, it cannot help but be that way. You who have brothers and sisters, you look at your parents, and parent is a marvel who can make the love for the child absolutely equal. I do not think it's possible for a parent not to love one child more than another. And I'm thinking of this brother who had three sons. And he said, my other sons knew that I loved my youngest son best. And I do not know what makes that, but it just is. And so here is a father, and he loves Rachel more than Leah, and he has 13 children, and he loves Joseph more than all the other children. It just is. And so you have to adjust to that. And I would adjust to it. Perhaps if I were in a position other than Joseph, it would be harder to adjust to. But you must understand that it is not possible for your parents to love all of you equally. They love you in different ways. They love you, but you must accept it. If not, it shall destroy you. Because it destroyed his brothers. They hated Joseph. Why? Because they saw Jacob, the father, loving Joseph more than he loved them. And I told you that Jacob loved well, but he did not love wisely. It was so evident whom he loved. There were gradations of love in Jacob's life, and I shan't turn you to it. But to show you, just as in the case of Joseph, whom Jacob loved more, you look at all of his children standing before your eyes, and one of them is outstanding. Why? Who is that one with a coat of many colors? Oh, that's Joseph. Well, why are his garments better and brighter than all the rest? Because I love him more than the rest. It was evident. He loved Joseph more than all the others. Now, he is also manifesting this when he is about to meet Esau, his brother. He thought Esau, his brother, was going to put him to death. And because of that, he had Bilhah and Zilpah, the handmaids of Rachel and Leah, and they had children, and Rachel and Leah had children. And so when Esau is coming after him, and he thinks that Esau is going to kill them, then he says, this is the way we're going to arrange it. He said, you handmaids, you Bilhah and Zilpah and your children, you go first and meet Esau. And he said, now Leah, you and your children, you go next. And he said, now Rachel, you stay back here with Joseph, and we'll meet him last. It's so evident. Who is that one with a coat of many colors? Well, that's Joseph. And which one of your child, of your children, which wife, which child do you love most? It's evident. He is exposing the others to the threat of danger first. And so he loves well, but he does not love wisely. I cannot give advice because I do not have children the way that Jacob does, but I think I would have been a little more discreet. And if you cannot help but love one more than another, try not to make it so obvious with a coat of many colors and exposing some to danger and making them suffer privations that you do not the rest. But understand that Joseph, it was just that way, and he could not help it. Now, I say this reverently. Here is Jacob, and here is Esau. Turn, if you will, to chapter 25. Chapter 25. And in chapter 25, there are two things I want to show you. Yes, verse 27. And the boys grew. And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah loved Jacob. Isn't that strange? Here is the father, and he loved Esau. And here is the mother, and she loved Jacob. You say, well, why can't they both love them identically? I can't tell you why, I just know that it's this way. And this is what destroys the family when Isaac is contending for the prominence of Esau and mother, Rebekah, is contending for the prominence of Jacob. And so there must be something that can be done. But let me say now that in this case, God himself said, Jacob, I loved. Esau, I hated. Keep that in mind. And one other thing. It says in John chapter 13 concerning the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. But of those whom he loved all of them. It says, now there was reclining upon Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom he loved. And again and again and again, John speaks of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And why is that? Did he not love Peter and Andrew and James and Philip and Bartholomew? Yes, he loved them all. But even the Lord Jesus could not help but love John in a special way. And if that was so, then as Peter, I would simply understand that there was that about John which the Lord Jesus loved, and I would rejoice in it. And I would see what characteristics were mine, and the Lord Jesus loved me. That's all that you can do. You try to figure these things out, but do not let your life be destroyed because somebody loves another better than he loves you. Why, the very fact that Jesus loves me at all, that is the marvel. I can understand why he would love John the Beloved more than he would love me. Yes. And I'm thinking this, if I were realistic, and I've examined the life of Joseph, and it is superior to every one of his brothers. If I think through it fairly, I can say, I understand why Jacob loved Joseph. And so there may be reasons. Why do people love other Christians more than they love me? If I'm fair and think it through, I could say, probably they deserve the love. There is something about them that draws forth that love. And because of that, let us face up to it, and let us acknowledge that it is impossible in life to love everyone identically the same, but let us do try to be a little more discreet and not to give one child a coat of many colors, and we do not care what his brothers think, and turn the brothers against the child that we love. If you love that way, if you love without discernment, according to those lines, then you are making for controversy in your family. Seek wisdom from God. That's all that I can say. Do not make it so obvious. And in like manner, if someone said, does your husband love you? Yes, he loves me. To what degree? He loves me to the fourth degree. He loves Rachel the first and Leah the second, and then Bilhah and Zilpah to the third and fourth degree. It should not be that way, but alas, it is. And I'm thinking perhaps this is what could be done. I could look at Joseph and see what there was about Joseph that made his father love him. And then I would try to be like Joseph. Or I would look at Rachel, if it were not something that was physical. Who could copy that? If one is beautiful and another is ordinary, plain looking. I would try to make myself like unto Rachel, if such a thing were possible. I would look at why this son, this wife, was love, and I would try to make myself lovable. Perhaps they would love us more if we tried that. But this is what I find, that if you discover that you are not loved as much, instead of saying, I'm going to correct this, by becoming like the one that my husband loves, my father loves, instead of becoming like it, you become unlike it. There is something about Joseph that the father loves, and there is hatred and murder in the heart of his brethren, and his father would love them less. That's the sad thing. And if there is envy and contention in Leah's life, then it does not make Jacob love her more. It makes Jacob love her less. And so what you have to do is to accept the facts of life and then do all in your power to make yourself, as God enables, like unto that which your husband loves, a wife or a son, and then if you cannot be loved to the same degree, then you leave it in God's hands. Rejoice that God loves you as much as he loves others, but some he loves in a special way. Rejoice with the consolation that I am included in the love of God. Now, one other thing. Turn back to chapter. No, I'll show you one other thing rather than the scripture that I showed you. Turn now to 2 Samuel chapter 19. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Jacob is not the exception. Alas, Jacob seems to be the rule. Just to understand chapter 19, in chapter 18, a report concerning the warfare between Absalom and the soldiers of David. Look at verse 32. And the king said unto the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "The enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise up against thee, to do thee hurt, be as that young man is." And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom." And then look down at verse 5. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants who this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest them that hate thee, and hatest them that love thee. For thou hast declared this day that princes and servants are naught unto thee. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived, and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore, arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry a man with thee this night that will be worse with thee than all the evil that hath befallen thee from thy youth until now." Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, "Behold, the king is sitting in the gate." And all the people came before the king. Now why would David love his son Absalom, who was an anarchist, who was a murderer, who was a liar? Why would he love his son? I cannot tell you, but he did. I told you that Jacob loved well, but he did not love wisely. And David loved well, but he did not love wisely. And at times when sorrow enters our lives, you need someone like Joab, and I told you that he is David's nephew, to take hold of David and bring him up short and say, "You must come to your senses, because now you hate those that love you and you love them that hate you." And sometimes in life it turns out that a son, instead of loving a father, hates a father and wants to kill you. And yet, who can deny the greatness of David's love for Absalom? And yet Absalom cared nothing for his father. Absalom hated his father, and yet David loved Absalom, his son. And Joab had seen if the outcome had been reversed, if all of David's soldiers had been killed, and Absalom had remained, then David would have had joy. And since the opposite was true, then David is mourning in the presence of all the people, and Joab said, "You had better go and correct this." And so we see that love is not always wise. There can be those that have a great deal of love, but they do not love wisely. And I've seen some fathers and mothers who have destroyed their children, like David would destroy Absalom, because of love that was unwise in his duties as a father to that child. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 1. I want you to see this. 1 Kings 1. Because it says David was a man after God's heart, it does not mean that David was without fault. Look at verse 5. 1 Kings 1:5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he was also a very goodly man, and he was born after Absalom. Listen again. And it said his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? Do you fathers have any strength to discipline your children? Do you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And if you say, Well, I love them so much, you are destroying them. David destroyed Absalom, and David destroyed Adonijah, because he did not bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He gave him no discipline. Listen, in his whole life long, he had never displeased him in saying, Why hast thou done so? And so you fathers and mothers should take this to heart, because your children do many things that are wrong, and you have to deal with them. And the same thing happened to Eli. Eli destroyed his sons. He did not restrain them. And so you could not say that David and Jacob did not love his children, their children. They loved their children well, but they did not love them wisely. And so Jacob loved, and David loved, and others loved. But there is more to love than abundance of love. There is wisdom of love as well. Let us love well. Let us love wisely. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that there is such a thing in this world as love. And when it enters our lives, then the labors of life are changed, the sorrow of life are changed, and the responsibilities of life are changed. Our Father, help us to love, but with that love, give us the wisdom that tempers that love. Let us not, because we love our children with a weakly, sickly, human love, destroy them. We remember Absalom. We remember Adonijah. And we remember also what the love of Jacob for Joseph did. It caused Joseph's brethren to hate him. And so let us love our children. And while there are some things we cannot do anything about, our Father, give us wisdom from heaven to keep this love that we have in abundance for one rather than another. Keep it from causing hate in others round about us. Look upon us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.